sociologist. She's really smart and a really good researcher. A long history of community-based NIH-funded research. I have been fortunate to have some of her grants in my portfolio, so Susan helps me to look good in my job, and I appreciate that, by the way. So she's currently at the
Professor Emeritus.
Yeah, yeah. This is someone who doesn't know how to retire well, but doing phenomenal work. And so without further ado, be awesome, Susan.
I would be honored to be an anthropologist, actually. Okay, I'm really honored to be here today and want to acknowledge my co-author, Jay Shensel, who I've been collaborating with. She'll tell you our story in a few minutes. I have no disclosures to report. And as Vaipa has told you, that most researchers concerned with the health of older adults are well aware of the increasing rate of growth of the number of adults 65 and over in the United States through 2050. From 2010 to 2050, the population more than doubles from 40.2 million to 86.7 million individuals over the age of 65 in the United States. Much of this growth can be attributed to the cohort of baby boomers coming of age and improvement in lifespan. This rapidly growing cohort of older adults has significant implications for our society as the demographics of these subpopulations change as they age. For example, older women outnumber older men, older adults are becoming more racially and ethnically diverse, and poverty rates rise with increasing age. The interactions of race, class, and gender result in higher overall health risks and social problems. This synergy will lead to increased demand for social services, greater long-term care solutions, and higher expenditures for health care and services. So the purpose of my presentation today is to describe the oral health status of older adults in the U.S. Given the time constraints, I can only focus on a few of these conditions, including the use of dental services, rates of edentulism, and the prevalence of caries and periodontal disease. Trends in oral health disparities among older adults in the United States will be presented as well, followed by some concluding remarks. Data for this presentation were derived from publications from the CDC, and the sources of data are presented at the bottom of each slide. This slide presents data on trends in the use of dental services from 1997 to 2012 by age for those 18 to 64 and 65 and older. Differences by age and having a dental visit in the past year have largely disappeared, in large part because of the increasing utilization among those over 65, although only 61% had a dental visit, and the reason for these dental visits are not known. Most adults over the age of 65 have some type of medical insurance through Medicare, but Medicare does not cover most routine dental services unless deemed medically necessary, and few older adults have private dental insurance. One study of Medicare beneficiaries found that users of preventive dental services were more likely to have dental insurance than treatment-only users, and they had more visits. However, preventive care users had lower total costs for dental care compared to treatment-only users. So the authors of that study concluded that dental services were cost-effective for older adults, and it will be important to follow the effects of the Affordable Care Act on preventive dental care in the future as options through the ACA expand and options through Medicare expand as well. This slide presents trends and rates of edentulism in three time periods and four age groups from the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, or NHANES. Rates of edentulism have been declining in all groups from 1988 to 2008, and edentulism is virtually non-existent in the youngest age group in the 2005 to 2008 NHANES. However, rates of edentulism increase with increasing age, and older adults are much more likely to be fully edentulous compared to younger adults. This slide presents data on the prevalence of untreated coronal caries in three time periods and three age groups. And these data are from the NHANES. Adults aged 20 to 64 have the highest rates of untreated decay, although the rate has been declining slightly over time. Older adults, on the other hand, have seen substantial improvement in untreated caries from 1988 to 94. However, the prevalence of untreated caries increased slightly among those 65 to 74 from the 1999 to 2002 NHANES to the most recent survey, and the prevalence has remained constant for those over the age of 74. This slide presents data on untreated root caries, and root caries is a much greater problem for older adults who are more likely to experience gingival recession, exposing the tooth to risk of caries. This trend shows a substantial decline in prevalence from the 1988 to 94 NHANES to the 1999 to 2004. However, there is little improvement at 2005 to 2008, and the prevalence actually increases among those over the age of 75. This slide shows the prevalence of moderate to severe periodontal disease at 2 points. The prevalence of this condition declines dramatically in all age groups, although older adults continue to have higher prevalence of these diseases. Reports from the 2005-08 NHANES do not present the data in the same way, so comparison data could not be presented for that period, although Griffin and colleagues report that about 20% of those over the age of 65 have untreated periodontal disease, compared to roughly 25% of those in the 50 to 64-year age group. And this is a continuing problem with the data that I've used, that there are differing age groups, there's differing definitions of diseases, and as you'll see as I get on to the health disparities, different categories of race and ethnicity as well as income groups are used. So in summary, indicators of oral health are improving among adults of all ages. Older adults continue to bear the burden of oral diseases disproportionately compared to younger adults, and those over the age of 75 have the worst oral health status, as you would expect. As previously mentioned, changing demographics in an aging society will have important implications, and these changes will affect dentistry. The following slides illustrate current disparities as an illustration of in select oral health indicators by age, race, ethnicity, and poverty level. This slide presents the percent of adults 65 years and old or over who report having a dental visit in the past year by race, ethnicity. Red represents non-Hispanic whites, yellow represents non-Hispanic black, and blue represents Hispanics. The trends are improving over time, but non-Hispanic whites clearly have the highest rates of use of dental services. This slide presents the same data in that period, except by percentage of the federal poverty level. Red represents the highest age income group, and gray represents the lowest income group. And those in the highest income category have the highest rate of use, surpassing 80% of the individuals in that income group. And as would be expected, those in the lowest income groups has the lowest use, with only around 30% reporting a visit in the past year. And this pattern will be repeated over and over again, as you'll see as we go through the different health conditions. This slide shows the rates of edentulism by ethnicity, for those over the age of 65. Non-Hispanic blacks have the highest rates, followed by whites, and surprisingly, Hispanics have the lowest rates of edentulism, but it's important to note that these rates are declining for all groups. This presents the same same indicator by federal poverty level, and again, you can see from this slide, the highest income groups, the red line, have the lowest rates of edentulism, and the trend is for rates to decline for the two highest groups. However, for those living in poverty, the rates are high at about 45% and have remained constant in this period. This slide presents data from the 2005 to 2008 NHANES, and the data from that survey are reported a little bit differently in that they're divided into two age groups and they're reported by less than and equal 200% of the federal poverty level compared to those over 200% of the poverty level. And we can see that those below the 200% of the poverty level have the highest rates of edentulous, and particularly if you look at those 75 and over living in poverty, they have a rate of edentulism of about 40%, which is quite high. The next few slides present data on untreated caries by race, ethnicity, and the federal poverty level, broken down by age. This slide on untreated caries for those 65 to 74 shows that non-Hispanic whites have the lowest rates, and non-Hispanic blacks and Mexican Americans have very similar rates. And note that this slide presents data for Mexican Americans rather than the generic term of Hispanics. This trend declines from 1998 to 2004, but remains relatively constant at the 2005 to 2008 period. The same trend is apparent for those over the age of 75, except the rates are a little bit higher. And this slide presents data for the untreated caries by federal poverty level for the younger age group. And again, we could see that those who are living in poverty have the highest rate, although there's something of a dip in the 1999 to 2002 period, but rises significantly again in the 2005 to 2008 period. Again, we can see that the prevalence of untreated caries for those over the age of 75 follows the same pattern, although if we look at those more affluent individuals over the age of 75, they seem to have an increasing trend of untreated caries in the 2005 to 2008 period. These next two slides present data on the prevalence of moderate to severe periodontal disease, and we can again see that the trend is decreasing prevalence among all three groups, although non-Hispanic whites have experienced the lowest rates in all time periods. And this is the prevalence. This is the same slide, sorry. So the next slide will present some data on the intersection of race, ethnicity, and income on use of dental services. Some data are available on untreated caries, but the error terms are large, making the estimates unreliable. So if you look at this slide, the three top lines represent the highest income groups at greater than 400% of the federal poverty level, and the three lowest lines are those living below 100% of the federal poverty level. And then within these income groups are the race ethnicity categories of non-Hispanic whites, non-Hispanic blacks, and I'm almost done. This is my last slide. And by far, non-Hispanic whites experience the greatest improvement and have the highest rates. So in conclusion, we can see the strong effect of race ethnicity among older adults. Non-Hispanic blacks and Hispanics have the worst oral health on most measures compared to whites. Hispanics have lower rates of edentulism compared to whites and blacks, and this should be pursued. There's an equally strong effect of poverty on oral health of older adults. Those living in poverty have the greatest risk of poor oral health. And oral health is improving greatly across race and ethnicity and poverty levels, but whites clearly have seen the most improvement in oral health status. And I would just like to acknowledge the support of NIDCR in coordinating this presentation. Sorry.